Hey guys, welcome back to another Sunday of Beyond the Veil with your host Lisa Lamrock, and tonight I have very special guest Kenny Addison with Lights Paranormal. How are you, Kenny?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am great. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm excited to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor and an absolute pleasure, so thank you so much.
No problem. Had to have you after chatting on the round table and you being a goofball there. I got to have him on the show.
Yeah.
All your background noises and sound effects.
Well, you know, you got to liven it up a little bit. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Can't be boring as all. But we are going to start out with some of the basics, like your history, like what got you going with the group, you know, what where you were born, raised, how the group was formed, kind of what got you on this path and journey.
Well, my first paranormal experience was at 3 years old. I was still in my, you know, I was still sleeping in my parents' bed, and you know, every night I would start seeing this whirling, whirling white mist, and I, you know, it didn't scare me or anything. It just, you know, it was just there, and I didn't understand it, but, you know, it intrigued me, you know, so I looked at it, and then as I grew older, you know, I started having more experiences, and you know, it was just, you know, everyday kind of thing, you know, where I just was seeing something. So, I thought that everybody else saw the same things that I was seeing. So, for a very long time, I didn't know that, you know, that this was out of the, you know, out of the normal. It was just like a, you know, an everyday occurrence. When I started getting older, though, you know, I started realizing, hey, you know, there's a, you know, something going on where, you know, not everybody does see this stuff, and, you know, what I'm seeing and the impressions that I'm getting, you know, are actually things contacting me that, you know that other people can't see or whatnot. So, you know, I started getting, you know, interested in that, you know. You know, you had the ghost shows on, so, you know, it's like, you know, I used to watch those because I used to be able to identify, you know, with the whole, you know, fact of just being able to see things that, you know, that, you know, some people can't see, and having having unexplained things. You know, me and my friend, you know, who is also, you know, very much into the paranormal and shows like that, and just finding out the history and all that whatnot, you know, we started, you know, kind of saying, hey, you know, we should, you know, that'd be awesome if, you know, we got into doing this, because, you know, it'd be great, because there's a lot of places on Long Island where you, you know, there's a lot of history, a lot of Indian history, and just, you know, because of the whole, you know, immigration kind of thing, you know, you had just masses of people, you know, coming in from different areas of the world. So there was an influx of just a ton of people. And also with that came a lot of disease and a lot of, mental illness and whatnot. So they, they started making these super institutions that are, some of them are still there. You know, a lot of the buildings have been torn down, but, you know, some of the main buildings are still there. So, just with all this history, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, you know, that'd be great if we could go there, see what experience the history that was there, and hopefully, you know, catch something in the time, you know, as well. So, I said, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead with it. And, you know, while I was forming lights, you know, I found out that I was empathic, and that in itself opened a lot of doors for me, in better understanding myself and better understanding the things that I've been experiencing my entire life. I started getting, you know, a lot more answers, you know, than I did before. So, you know, essentially the start of the group, you know, the point of the group, you know, kind of changed very rapidly as I started, you know, getting more answers to the whole, you know, to the whole empathic thing. And, you know, I realized that I do have some gifts or whatnot. You know, it's nothing, it's not 100% all the time, you know, but it does help me understand better, you know, the things that are happening around me, and it helps me to be able to communicate better and resolve things, not just on, you know, their plane, but also on our plane too, and helping, you know, and helping people out. So, you know, it quickly turned into, well, for me, it quickly turned into, you know, the just being compelled to help as many people as I can, you know, because of the things that I have experienced my entire life. I went through a period of time where, you know, things weren't so great, because unfortunately, you know, when you're gifted and you're going through adolescence, you know, it's just double, it hits you, you know, so much on a so much of a deeper level that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times, at least in my area, it's confused with mental illness. So, you know, so I went through a period of being on medications. It was absolute hell, because when you take down, you know, when you're sedated and medicated, you're not only in a hypnotic state, you're in a suggestive state, and also you're in, psychically, your shield is down. You know, you're not, mm-hmm. you know, you're not, you don't have that natural protection anymore. So I was getting, you know, unfortunately I was getting attacked a whole lot, you know, by being in a low frequency state all the time because of the medication. So at 18 years old, you know, when I was finally kind of able to control my own destiny with that, I took myself off the medications, and I was absolutely fine after that. You know, I was still seeing and picking up things around me, but it wasn't as dark and as intense. So, you know, because a lot of people say, well, you know, how do you know that you're not, you know, mentally ill or not? Well, the whole thing is that usually medications help, or at least supposed to help, you know, people that have, you know, a certain illness. But I never really, you know, I had the opposite reaction to it. And, you know, nobody could explain why, but they kept putting me, you know, they kept forcing the pills down there. It was also during a time where a lot of these, you know, new medications were coming out. So I kind of just became more of a guinea pig than as a patient.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, a lot of things wound up, you know, happening to me because they've never been, you know, explored before. And pretty much it was like, oh, yeah, try this new thing. So, you know, so thankfully I came back from all of that, and, you know, that pretty much helps me, you know, helps drive me when helping people, because I would never want to, you know, I don't want anybody to ever experience or go through the things that I did during that period of time. It wasn't such a great period. You know, I could look back on it now and say, you know, I learned a lot of things, and I think, you know, I kind of thank that for happening, because if it wasn't for all that darkness, it wouldn't have propelled me into the light where, you know, where I am now. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that, you know, go around saying love and light, but, you know, I do try to, you know, be positive and set a positive, you know, vibe to people, and also, you know, and just helping and caring about people. That's part of just being, you know, an empath, is that I'm able to relate to people on such a deep level that I could experience, you know, and relate to them to the point where it feels like it's happening to me. And, you know, I've learned to utilize it, you know, to give back, you know, because, you know, the way I look at it is that everybody has a gift. Everybody could have these, you know, has these gifts. It's just that some people turn it off, some people ignore it, and some people just, you know, just don't recognize it. You know, and people are at different levels as well. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm a really good psychic, but at the same time, you know, there's been times where, you know, I wasn't able to really get much, and there's some times where I was able to actually get names and all that stuff, and there was actual proof that these people were there and all that. And, you know, I don't use it mainly. It's a tool. It's not just, you know, that's not the only thing that I go by. You know, it's just a tool in helping me, you know, understand both the living and, you know, the spirit. So it's, you know, it's been an interesting journey, and, well, you know, I hope to do more.
I have a couple questions for you too, because you had mentioned the influx of immigration, immigrants coming in and the increased activity, then also mentioned being empathic. So however you want to answer it, but do you see like an influx of activity during like a certain time of the year, like holidays? And because I don't know if, you know, maybe there's more deaths around the holidays. I was just curious. And then also if your daughter is empathic or sensitive as well.
I'll answer. My daughter does have gifts. I kind of made her aware of it, but not in a way where, you know, in a way that you know, a little person could understand it. You know, you don't want to, you know, I don't want her to, I want her to explore it on her own. So she knows that she's able to see things. She does see things already. And, you know, I don't, you know, the best thing to do is try to make it a positive experience. You know, even if she's seeing something that might not be, you know, so great or maybe would be a little, it might seem a certain way, you know, just be like, you know, they're just there because they know that you could recognize them and that, you know, and, you know, that you're able to see them, you know, because that's, you know, it's mainly due to the law of attraction. If you're sending out a certain vibe, you know, whether you know it or not, you know, it attracts certain things. So, you know, that's why I do try to keep a positive and higher frequency of, you know, being. So, that's pretty much that. What's the other question? What was the other question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, influx of like activity during the holidays.
Oh yeah. I mean, this year it started early. It started actually, I would say maybe like the first week of October for some reason. Usually it happens like after October, but this year it started a little bit earlier, and it's been pretty intense. This is the most intense year that I've experienced anything. There's a lot of theories. There's a lot of, you know, almost explanations, you know, or ideas of why it is that way. But, you know, it does happen to a lot of people, and, you know, people that are, it happens to, you know, a little bit more to people that are gifted, but it happens to a lot of people as well too, because, you know, I've asked, as a general like poll question on the Lights page, I'm like, you know, is anybody experiencing and, you know, an influx of activity, and a lot of people did say yes. I mean, you know, and some people that, you know, some people, you know, were sensitive and some people weren't, but generally, you know, it was a yes. So, you know, just like Lewis said, you know, that's the perfect way. The veil, the veil sometimes seems to be thinner close to, you know, the summer and winter solstice. And I definitely agree with that, because that's, you know, I experience activity, you know, all throughout the year, but that's when it's just like more concentrated. So, you know, I definitely agree with that as well.
So what, because you're constantly learning, obviously, classes, people take classes and things. What investigator would you say that you admire the most, look up to, or would want to work side by side with that you haven't yet, if you could, anybody? Is there one person in particular?
Oh, I don't.
Within our field.
There's so many people that I would love to investigate with. I mean, I can't just say one. They're my personal superstars in the paranormal community, because, you know, they're people of integrity and they're just great people in general. You know, so I don't know. I can't really answer one specifically.
you're like, I'm not falling into that. I know there aren't many people, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I would pretty much, you know, my dream would be to be able to travel, you know, all over the United States, all over the world, and just, you know, be like, hey, you know, Lisa, let's team up and do an investigation. And, you know, it would be great because, you know, you guys, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not just I talk to you guys, you know, you guys become like a paranormal family, you know, where, mm-hmm. you know, I support you guys and, you know, you know, I try to learn from you guys and I look up to everybody, you know, so, you know, that's where pretty much my stance is in the community, is that, you know, I want to look, you know, I love learning from everyone and I hope to be able to, you know, investigate with everybody and just, you know, do what we love and share the passion together, you know, wherever the location may be, you know, so.
And I see that you share a lot of stuff on Pinterest. I found your Pinterest yesterday, and you've got it broken down. You've got legends, crimes, prayer, science, all kinds of stuff, cleansing. Like, man, this is some educational.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you, yeah. So if you guys have not checked out Kenny's Pinterest, you've got to go check it out. Awesome stuff there. Now, I have a question. Do you think dolls can be haunted?
I think anything could be pretty much, you know, anything could be haunted. It all comes down to the intent that you have for what, I mean, you know, obviously if a place could be haunted, you know, so can an object. You know, if it meant a lot to somebody, if it had deep meaning to somebody, if something tragic happened, you know, it could definitely be displaced in objects, you know, as well as locations. You know, it's, you know, when I do a room cleansing, it's not just, you know, me, you know, pushing sage around. It's me, you know, I set the intent. I concentrate on what I want the room to feel like. I set the rules and guidelines of what could go in and out of the room, you know, not just, you know, spiritually, you know, and it's about that. I believe if somebody put enough intent into an object, it can most certainly leave an impact on it or an imprint on it. So, you know, and that does happen. You know, there's times where I pick up certain objects and I you know, I get impressions from it, not really strong, but, you know, I get feelings on it, you know, so it's most, and they're not like haunted or anything. It's just that, you know, maybe somebody was, you know, a lot of times it'd just be like somebody trying to do something, you know, and they're using it, and, you know, you just get the impression of that from the object, you know. You know, like I said, I'm not like any sort of, you know, super psychic or, you know, whatever the case is, you know, but it's there. It's just I haven't really developed it, because I'm more trying to just protect myself, you know, because I do have, you know, medical issues. You know, sometimes I'm very tired, so it's just a constant, you know, and plus I'm absorbing, you know, all of the energies around me, whether it be, you know, living, deceased, or, you know, human, not human, you know, and stuff like that. So that's what I mainly concentrate on. You know, I've been told by a few people that, you know, if I develop my gift, you know, I could be pretty good at it. You know, but that's not something that I'm really trying to focus on right now. You know, I try to keep, you know, focus on helping others and, you know, just trying to maintain my own, you know, my own medical health and whatnot. So, you know, but in the future, you know, if the opportunity arises, yeah, I would definitely love to explore that side of me more, you know, cause it's a part of you. So I figure, you know, why not? And, you know, I just want to be safe, you know, doing it, because, you know, if I do it, you know, if I do that, and I take a lot of responsibility when we do investigations, you know, and rightfully so, because I don't want to bring anything there, you know, if it's a residential or even if it's a commercial, you know, investigation, I don't want to bring anything there and leave it there, you know, that wasn't there before, and I don't want to take things back with me, you know, that I didn't have before, because, you know, it's not right, and I wouldn't want to put my team or anybody else, you know, in that sort of position where you know, I might put them at risk for anything. So that's why I really kind of haven't explored that lately, you know, at all, so far.
And, we have a couple questions in chat for you. One is, me look here, from Lewis, and he says, do you believe that high EMFs can cause spirits to be drawn to a particular location?
I'm not too certain on that. Let me explain it like this. One time, I do believe it can cause activity, but I don't know if it can draw certain things to a location. I mean, it might if because what it does is it radiates EMF, EMF frequency, it radiates EMF, frequencies and just kind of like radical ones where it's not like it's not like for a reason, it's just general. When I first started out, investigating and whatnot, I did make my own EMF pump, and that is the first, I only used it once, and that was the first time and the last time that I used it, because apparently I made such a strong one that whenever I turned it on, I started getting feelings of paranoia, I started getting nauseous, and I started getting shaky. Which obviously that would not be a great thing to do while you're investigating. So that's, that was
right.
Kind of like a one-time shot for me. But literally the thing was so strong that, I put my millimeter to it and it totally knocked it off the charts.
You should have tested that before you got there.
No, I did. I made it and then I went to test it and I'm like, I turned it on and, I just felt a little vibrating in my hand. And all of a sudden I just started getting,
feeling
the fear and all that. So I'm like, yeah, okay, this is not happening. I'm not bringing that to a location. If that happens to me, it could happen, if there's something there, let's say I'm, investigating a hospital and I set this thing off, I'm going to agitate the spirits that might already be, there because, they haven't resolved the issues of their passing or whatnot. So why would I want to agitate anything? If it didn't feel good to me, I'm not gonna use it on anybody, anything or anybody else. So.
Right. Lewis had another question for you. Let me get back to it. Keeps jumping. How does your medical issues contribute to your sensitivity of the paranormal?
Unfortunately, a lot of times. Not just with medical issues, if people are sick, people that do have a higher sensitivity than most others, we recognize that, our energy changes and we're more susceptible to things, within that realm of the frequency that we're in. If we're in a low frequency because we're sick or because we're having, for me, I have fibromyalgia and unfortunately, I'm going through a bout of sciatica with a couple of herniated discs. So, during this time, I'm just cleansing multiple times a day. I'm very fatigued, and during that time, there's the stuff that's around you that's not so nice likes to mess with you, and they do wind up, if I don't keep it in check, it does wind up causing more pain than I should be in. And unfortunately, the reason why I know that is because, before I knew I was an empath and I had gifts, I didn't realize that things around me were having such an impact on me, to the point where I literally felt like I was dying. I was in so much pain, and it was, I thought it was just my medical issues, and I'm like, this is really, really bad. So I didn't very much believe in, spiritual healers at that point. I was just like, it's like whatever. And, at that point I was just like, it couldn't hurt. Let me give it a try. And I went there and, she's not just, a spiritual healer to me. She also, kind of took me under her wing and gives me homework to do and, just to improve myself so I could help myself. That's ultimately what she wants, people like me to, people like me and that she trains, that she trains to be able to take care of themselves and explore their own, explore their own gifts and kind of, be self-sufficient, in their own sensitivities. So I went there and she did her thing and pretty much, she was like, you know, how do you feel? And I'm like, you know, I feel pretty good. You know, I left there. I mean, like, no more than two steps walking out of her house, and it felt like I took my first breath, like, ever, like, in life. You know, it was like being reborn and getting a second chance. And, you know, I literally, when I got to my car, I literally just busted out in tears. I was just like, this is incredible. Like, I don't even know what the heck to do. I feel, you know, I felt like so much better. I mean, you know, I still had pain, but it was the pain that I was meant to have, not the pain that was just, you know, that
everybody else
was from. Exactly. You know, so that was, you know, and when something affects me that deeply, I mean, you know, I wasn't like, it wasn't the power of suggestion, you know, because obviously I wasn't, you know, it was just like, I was open to it, but I wasn't like, you know, a true blue believer where I'm like, yeah, this is going to work and all that stuff. You know, I was, you know, same thing with crystals. I tell people about crystals all the time. There was a time I didn't believe in crystals. I was like, it's like hocus pocus stuff, but I was taught how to do it properly. And then I was like, holy crow, wow, this actually works. And I'm feeling stuff. And now I understand why I'm feeling things when certain things do go off, you know, like with me, it's more like I get different sensations during an investigation. And when I'm just, you know, hanging out, you know, just being, you know, being regular Kenny, not like, you know, investigator or anything like that, you know, it never stops. You know, it's my whole life consists of like just it's like one big investigation. You know, I come in contact with things all the time, and you know, unfortunately, I get drained a lot. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy. You know, being, you know, having a gift of being able to relate to people and not, you know, unfortunately, take on, you know, their emotions too. You know, so it's, but you know, it's something that I like. You know, it's something that I do enjoy doing because I do like to help people out. So, you know, I kind of sacrifice my own well-being for the greater good, you know, so, and I don't mind that because, you know, helping people discover their own happiness, you know, makes me happy and, you know, it makes me fulfilled in the sense where that's where I feel like my purpose is supposed to be, is helping people out, you know, and guiding people and just, you know, kind of giving people, just a better outcome and not just the living, but also the deceased too. I want to help them out too. I've been to quite a few places and they're just still in the state of pain and just being medicated. And, you know, one of the biggest impactful places that I've been to is Pilgrim State. There's just like, I mean, hundreds of different spirits there, and some, you know, a lot of them just don't know that they're dead. A lot of them are still in that state of being sedated, and there's some that are there to manipulate and to use that energy to make themselves stronger so they can do, you know, so they could do other things. And, you know, it really stinks because, you know, I don't think anybody likes to see somebody else in pain. And it's not just, you know, from the living that I see that. It's also from, you know, things that are still, you know, beings that are still here beyond the time of their death. So, you know, it's just, you know, I just try to help whatever I can.
That we're going to go ahead and take a quick 4-minute break, play some music, and when we come back, I want to change it up and make it a little lighter. I've got 5 random questions for you. It's personal, woo! Nothing paranormal. We're going to figure out Kenny when we get back. And then there's a question in chat, so we'll hit that too when we come back. So if you guys want to hold on for just a minute.
Great.
Caused the highest of all to fall, burning. Hi.
Ken.
Can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Re-record your message.
Press 1.
Discard your message.
Press 2.
Mark your message urgent.
Press 3.
Replay your recording.
Press 4.
Save this recording.
Press the pound key
or hang up. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, Kenny, you there?
Woohoo!
You there?
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry
all
about
right.
that. My phone.
Sorry, I accidentally died. Dropped myself out of there. Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Thanks for sticking in. Okay, so I guess we're both on. Everybody should be
Woo!
Able to hear us. So we're going to hit you with those questions now.
Nice.
Okay. If I gave you an elephant, where would you hide it?
Under a bed.
Favorite color of socks? Favorite? Yeah, I don't think that would work, but okay. Favorite
I don't know.
Color
it's
of socks
I
to wear.
White socks.
How boring. Name one actress. This is actor/actress. You would love to get naughty with.
Oh, I couldn't remember this. I'm gonna go with Angelina Jolie. Why not?
Women or cars?
Women.
And the last one, do you suffer from sleepwalking?
No, I do not. Because I don't really sleep. So I don't sleep enough to actually start walking in my sleep.
Those are good answers. Okay, let me see if I can find that question that was in chat. Lewis had a question right before we went on break, and it was, do you think that entities will project feeling onto the sensitive of what may have happened to them and what their demise may have been?
Most certainly. I mean, you know, when you're going on investigations and you know, and you do have sensitivities, you know, pretty much the way I perceive it and the way kind of, you know, just from experience and, you know, experiencing you know, interacting with spirit, they, you know, we're kind of like beacons, you know, in the sense that they could see us better. They know that we could see them. You know, just it's more feeling. It's not really like, you know, it's not as much, you know, physically seeing us or anything. It's just that, you know, like it's kind of like the feeling that you get when, you know, somebody's behind you, but you don't see them yet, but you could feel them there. That's kind of like, you know, that's the way I kind of, one of the ways that I kind of see how they interact with us, you know, and, you know, also with, you know, within thought process and using our reference of, you know, our points of reference, meaning that, you know, things that we, you know, all the things that we've sensed and, you know, experienced in our lives, they'll use that to try to communicate with us as well. You know, definitely intent. You know, if you know, that good feeling or bad feeling that you get during an investigation, that's, you know, they're projecting that intent, you know, to either, you know, to communicate what they're, you know, what they're about or what they're, you know, they're planning to do or, you know, or just say what their intentions are pretty much, you know, and it's not just to, you know, tell you, you know, the state that they're in. It's also just to let, you know, they also do that to let, you know, let people, you know, that have sensitivities know that they are there still, to communicate certain things. You know, I did a residential where, you know, there was, you know, an uncle. There was other activity, but the uncle came through to let his niece know that he was protecting everyone in the house and that there, you know, and because of the other activities that are there. So, you know, it was really interesting in the fact that, you know, I did feel other things. There was that one energy that, you know, was separate from the others. You know, he kind of, you know, waved, you know, I guess, you know, the best way I could say, he, you know, he sent it, like, he had a different, you know, feel to him, and the feel was relation, you know, being related to the people in the house, and then I started receiving, you know, sort of a message from him, and that was mostly through intent. It wasn't him actually saying, I'm here to protect. I got the feeling of like a, you know, an authoritative figure watching out for, you know, someone that's younger. And the way that I was able to put that together is because, you know, me being a father, you know, that's the same feeling that I get when I, you know, with my daughter. You know, I love her very much. You know, I try to protect her and all that stuff. So it, you know, it was very, that was essentially very easy to put together, you know, because I could relate to, you know, to that feeling. The other energies that were there were more like rogue energies that were kind of called there. And, people could have their own opinion on this, but for me, I do believe that there is something, you know, that some things are going on with mirrors, because in the basement, she had a lot of mirrors. I mean, she had a mirror behind her bed, like a wall mirror, and then she had vanity mirror, and then a full stand-up mirror, and just other mirrors in the room. And, they actually said that, because I was doing a ghost box session, and the subject did come up of mirrors, and, you know, the light from the mirrors, you know, it was just...
Mirrors freak me out.
I'm sorry.
They're creepy, especially when there's a lot. You're talking about she had them all over. Oh no.
Yeah, they were kind of like passing, kind of passing through. And, you know, I think a lot of, I think a lot of it kind of was because she's also maybe, I would say like, I say maybe like a quarter of a mile away from like, you know, a cemetery. And I think that, you know, I'm not saying that all cemeteries are haunted. You know, I've come to the conclusion that each cemetery has its own signature feeling to it. And, pretty much it's unique in its own way. So, you know, but the idea
people have that assumption that the dead are just like sitting there, and I just don't feel that they're all just sitting there. I'm sorry, they're not going to just be hanging out at their gravesite. So
exactly,
because now people flock to investigate at them.
I've investigated at least five different cemeteries, and honestly, in those five, only one of them really gave any sort of feeling that there was somebody still there at their grave, and that was somebody that came through at her grave to let me know that, you know, how she died. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't like, you know, and she kind of was like still in disbelief that she was there, but I don't think she's there constantly, but I believe because we were there and, you know, I kind of let myself, you know, be known that I'm there. You know, she just came through to kind of like, you know, just tell me because, you know, obviously I'm putting myself out there for anybody to talk if they want, you know. So, you know, I kind of got the impression, you know, I kind of got the mental impression of her looking at her grave, being like, this is how I died. And, you know, I didn't want to die this way. And it was some sort of illness. Like, I want to say like, it was like a communicable disease sort of thing. You know, I don't know exactly what it was. It might've been cholera. It might've been, tuberculosis or something like that, but I'm not too sure on that one. But she died from whatever illness she had. And, but that was really the only time that I ever got like that sort of thing. It's not like there's all these graves and they're standing, you know, each one is standing right by their grave. That's never really happened to me. So I definitely agree with you on that.
You have a question in chat. Whittery talks about your daughter being sensitive, and Candy was asking if there were any other family members.
There on my father's side, there are a lot of empaths, but they don't know that they're empaths. We kind of have like the same sort of MO when it comes to like, how things affect us. And it's you know, they're on the religious side, so they're not really open to it. my cousin is a sensitive, and you know, because of the religious base and the strength of religious base that my family has on my father's side, unfortunately, you know, it kind of has to be, you know, she kind of can't come out about it or explore it, because then that's like, you know, it conflicts with you know, her family, you know, her mother and father's belief and stuff. So, you know, but I tell her, you know, I'm like, you know, if you ever want to talk, you know, I'm always here. And you know, I did try to bring her to a couple of fairs. So, you know, she could better understand, you know, what's going on with herself. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not what, you know, she's pretty much, you know, a new teenager. She's not an adult yet. So I have to respect, you know, her family's decision on stuff. But, you know, on my mother's side of the family, there's more of the sixth sense kind of thing, the ESP stuff. And so, you know, in figuring both of this out, this is kind of where, you know, the combination, you know, I'm like kind of the combination of the two. You know, now my brother is absolutely the opposite. He doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't, you know, he's very just like, so we're kind of night and day, but I seem to have gotten the more, you know, the more sensitive nature of you know, the genetics of my family. So, and I do believe it is genetic, that, you know, with more sensitivity and whatnot, because, you know, I look at it this way, you know, people come to realizations, you know, every day, and you know, that's just who we are. But to be able to put your mind to the capacity of thinking in abstract and you know, these different things, you know, it's pretty much like being on a trip but not taking anything. You know, it's just like, it's having that awareness, you know, and stop and just out of a crowd of people, you know, you being the one to stop and think, well, what about beyond this? What about beyond this? What about, you know, and it's just to go off on a, you know, and not a tangent necessarily, but just to be able to have this initial awareness to kind of see things more than, you know, a lot of people can see. And, you know, it does get frustrating. It gets very like isolated, because trying to talk to people about things that they don't understand, kind of, you know, and it's not stuff that I think is going on, it's stuff that I've been living, you know. So it's, you know, once in a while I'll get like a skeptic that says, oh, you know, well, you're believing in stuff, you know, just because, you know, it's been passed on. No, this is stuff that I believe in, because I've never had a chance to really be a skeptic. You know, I'm skeptical during investigations, but that's because I want to even the ground, you know, and pretty much, you know, everything is not paranormal. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not one of those people where everything is paranormal, because that's just the same as somebody saying, you know, well, that's not paranormal and nothing is paranormal. So, you know, I give everything an even playing ground, you know, when I investigate, and you know, if it is something, then that's great. If it's nothing, then, you know, we'll try to give our best possible explanation of why this is happening. And, you know, I've never really gotten a negative feedback from anybody, you know, because we say something isn't paranormal. So, I mean, you know, it's good to do, you know, it's just a great common practice to have. So.
We've got probably about 5 minutes before we wrap. I had a couple questions for you. I was just debating which one. What about your like strangest like evidence or case so far that you've had? Anything stick out?
The strangest was when I investigated Brunswick Hospital. The building was torn down itself, but the land and the remaining buildings that were there, you know, we did investigate. I did do a historical research on it, and I wound up finding out that the land itself has been used primarily for medical and psychiatric care for the last 200 years. So there was, you know, six or seven people that died in a fire when it wasn't Brunswick. It was back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s, and there was it was actually like a smaller, it was a smaller institution. It was a more home style institution because they were trying to get away from places like Kings Park and Pilgrim State where people went there and they never got back out. So, the strangest thing about that though, but the coolest thing was, we were exploring, the rooms and we were just, going around and seeing, if we pick up anything. And, I got to me and the lead investigator got to this one room, and there was, I swear it looked like blood. I mean, was it blood? I'm not sure. But, we were using UV lights, and it glowed. So I don't know what exactly it was, but, I was kind of taken back because it looked like something out of, like, a slasher film, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And, we didn't get a response at that very moment, but when we were reviewing the evidence, it said it's a terrible stain. And I'm like, oh, God, I just start thinking, what could possibly, was it like a homeless person? Was somebody like brought there and like, something happened to them, because I mean, this crazy stuff that happens at abandoned locations, I mean, they kind of become havens for people that don't do the right thing. So, I could only imagine what that stain was. I mean, I'm no scientist, so it's not like I could take a sample. I probably should have taken a sample and see if I could get it, analyzed or whatever, but. Yeah. It's just one of those things. It was kind of creepy, but.
Well, I hate to start wrapping, but I guess we're probably going to have to. I don't think we have time for more questions tonight anyways. Do you have any upcoming events coming up? Like I know Pennhurst is coming up. There's tons of cons coming up.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to Pennhurst. And, pretty much, I have my own radio show as well. So I love having people on there and I enjoy, getting to know people better, getting to know, fellow investigators better and being able to support them and put them out, put them out there. So people could follow what they're doing and, support them as well.
And what name, night, time for your show?
It's usually every other Wednesday. If you go to our main website, it's www.lightsparanormal.com, and you go to Lights Out Radio, you could see all of the upcoming shows. You could also listen to past shows if you want to as well. There's a 2015 archive there. There's a ton to listen to. So, even if you missed the show, you could always go back and re-listen to it.
Awesome. And is there any links, websites people can find you on if they need an investigation or anything you need
sure.
to put out there?
Yeah, even though we're Long Island based, we always encourage people that have any questions, please contact, give us a call, send us a message, even if where you are is not in the same state, find somebody that's reputable and, that we feel strongly about that are going to be able to help, help that individual the best we can, So you can pretty much go to, lightsparanormal.com. Pretty much it's a hub for everywhere. If you want to see our Facebook, you click on the Facebook icon, but our Facebook is facebook.com/lights.paranormal. And you can also get us there too. So,
all right, awesome. With that, we're going to go ahead and exit. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon, hopefully on the roundtable.
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it.
Okay, all right, bye. Good night. Good night, guys. See you next Sunday.
Good night.
Wear holes in your heels, or skip a few dozen meals, and bend your body till it's broken, till you find no truth. And more than half the time, life we live is rancid. Got the shoes suede blues. Oh yeah, yeah. I clench my fist. I don't wanna live like this. I don't know what to do. It's hard living life when it's 9 to 5, spending all your time just trying to get by. Trapped inside and make you go crazy, make you lose your mind, but you just can't pull the trigger. Cause we don't all get to leave. No, we don't all get to leave. A hole in my head. The only option left. System that controls me. And over half the time, the problem is in my mind. This life we live is rancid. Got the shoes suede blues. Oh yeah. Trapped inside, it makes you go crazy, make you lose your mind, but you just can't pull the trigger. Cause we don't all get to leave. No, we don't all get to leave. 9 to 5, spending all your time just trying to get by and hoping for something bigger. It feels like a cage when you're trapped inside. It makes you go crazy, make